Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Wednesday, January 15th. That means it's time for the Under the Radar podcast, a little
Woohoo!
old school style, just me and Griggs.
Back to
if
the
I,
very
if I,
beginning.
If I leave, it'll be even better because I don't want to be spending the next hour with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're just jealous because my TV's bigger. I got a very big TV.
Okay, if you insist, all I see is your couch back there. But
I mean, my TV won't fit on the screen. It's that large.
I'm Chad Sherwood. He's David Griggs. This is Under the Radar, and I guess we should start for all of you that are watching. You probably all know what Under the Radar means already for us, but why don't we go ahead and define it anyhow, Griggs?
Well, yeah, it is the shortest definition is that it's the 23 regular one bid leagues. There's no rule that says
Only 22 of them.
Like I said, it's the 20. We have not demoted the A10. Excuse me. It is the 22 regular one bid leagues. There's no rule that says these teams can't get more than one bid. The A10 on occasion has done it, but I've just been told they're not under the radar. But typically that's what it is. So what it isn't is if you're sending multiple teams to the NCAA tournament and you have about $1 billion television contract, like the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC, the SEC, you're categorically not under the radar. If your conference is sending, again, multiple teams to the NCAA tournament on a very regular basis, like the Big East, the American, the West Coast, you're not under the radar. If you're the Atlantic 10, you're not under the radar yet, but you might be. So it's everybody else.
Yeah. And in fact, if you go up there on the website, up to
Mountain
the,
West, I forgot about them. Also not under the radar.
Up on the website, we have our survival board, which got its first update of the year this week. And all these conferences we're going to be discussing tonight, you're going to see a lot of them. Everybody on that survival board is listed as auto bid only, or maybe only one team not auto bid only. So most of these teams have already determined that they cannot get in through it at large. There's a handful that are still alive for that, though.
A very small handful, but a handful nonetheless.
What we do is we go through these 22, and it is 22 leagues in alphabetical order, other than a feature conference, which I pick out about 3 minutes before we start. And tonight's feature conference is, let's go a little Summit League, Griggs. We haven't discussed this as our feature yet this year. And I really want to do this because right now, the Tommies of St. Thomas, I get it. They are not postseason eligible, but they're playing the best basketball in this conference.
By quite a bit. And this is pretty remarkable story here. Well, there's multiple stories. One is that the rest of the league, if you'll bring it back up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
We just had minor technical difficulties, which
minor
we're trying to get that back.
Difficulties.
Go ahead. Keep talking,
okay.
Griggs.
Well, the Summit League, typically one of the stronger under-the-radar conferences, at least at the top. South Dakota State has been very good in the past. North Dakota State has as well. There have been many years where we thought Denver was going to be good and they weren't. Now we don't think they're going to be good and we are correct every time. This year, the league pretty far down. Kansas City might be rebounding a little bit, but the Tommies not down at all. A transitional team, and almost even transitional by transitional standards. It's a 5-year transition because they're coming up from Division III, which seems unfair. There is hope that this summer that's going to get reduced. I think they've definitely proven themselves to be assimilated to D1, and they're outperforming by far everyone else in the conference. The road win at North Dakota State, the road win at Northern Colorado. No one else has really done that. And you look at some of their losses, they were in there with Arizona. I mean, they didn't win. It didn't really look like they were going to at any point, but they made a very good accounting of themselves in that game. Another overtime loss. So as good as they've been, they're a couple of plays away from having even more wins.
And still not being postseason eligible other than for like the CBI or one of those events. I also pulled up Omaha on the screen there. This is actually the hottest team overall in the conference with 6 wins in a row. I mean, this team was sitting there at 4-9 a couple of weeks ago, and we weren't even talking about them, Griggs.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden with this winning streak, they are – in first place among the eligible teams and tied with the Tommies, in fact, at top of the entire league standings, and starting to turn my head a little bit here.
Yeah,
They just
red
came off a win
hot.
over South Dakota State this week. Go
Yeah.
ahead.
Yeah, red hot and out of nowhere. I was really starting to be big on North Dakota State, but they've dropped a couple of conference games. It's getting a little bit log jammed there in the middle, as you notice, between 3 and 7, but Omaha sort of pulling away from everybody else, along with St. Thomas. And it did. It like there was no indication that this was going to happen. They had looked really unimpressive, and or at least showed no signs of being competitive like some of the other schools that we thought would be. But here they are, kind of outperforming. Oral Roberts, by the way, my God, are they miserable after being one of the better teams in the league for a long time running.
Yeah, well, they just picked up one on Saturday. They beat North Dakota, but North Dakota is also not very good. upcoming schedule this week, though, Omaha is going to be at Denver, and then and I guess that's their only game over the next 7 days here. Well, the Tommies who we were just talking about, they're going to be hosting Denver over the weekend.
So again, very winnable games for both Omaha and St. Thomas. And I don't mean to pick on Denver, but Denver, not a good basketball team at all.
No, Denver is in a bit of a rough stretch here. You should keep an eye on these, like the North Dakota State at South Dakota games, the Kansas City at North Dakota State. There's a couple games here that could be really good games, not necessarily involving those top two teams though. Let's jump over to the America East though, and
Well,
well, let's
wow.
talk about last Thursday. Vermont went to Lowell, and won there, and suddenly I said, Greg, I was like, this is it. Vermont is becoming Vermont again. And then they went to Bryant and lost by 20 points. So maybe Vermont isn't Vermont again. Maybe Bryant is the team to beat suddenly in this league. I don't know.
I still like Lowell. Now, what Bryant has done in conference has been commendable, but they only had 4 D1 wins prior to about a week ago. They beat, they did beat Vermont at home. Vermont may not have gotten their feet back on the ground after what really was an impressive, I would call it surprising, although you and Rocco were all over it. You had said Vermont would probably win that game. I might die on this hill, and I know that they're a half game back. I still like this UMass Lowell team. And
I like this team a lot too, but when you lost that home game to Vermont, they did bounce back. They beat NJIT, but they only beat NJIT by 8. Quite frankly, you should beat NJIT by about 30 this season. No offense to NJIT, but kind of like Denver, they are not a good basketball team.
Former team of the people, we have a soft spot for them, but they're still not very good.
We did get a win out of New Hampshire, so why don't just give a quick shout out to New Hampshire with the win over Binghamton over this weekend. Got their first D1 win of the season, as but they are still toeing the line for that Centenary Award. We'll have to keep an eye on them versus
You look
D1
at that
team.
WAB, that new metric that I'm a fan of, 364, 361 in the OAR, just not doing very well. Chad, we got to mention before we move on, and I know we got a lot to get to, but we said back in October that Maine would make some noise, and here they are, 8-8 against D1 competition, which I know that they're not exactly playing Big East level teams, but by Maine standards, that's remarkable. 2-1 start in the conference. How about the Black
How
Bears?
about that? And they beat Albany by 21 points at home over the weekend. Albany has had some life this season. Not a lot of life, but has had some life. And that was just a thorough thrashing of a decent Albany team by America East standards. So I'm with you. This Maine team, Maine could be get one of those top 4 seeds and be hosting a quarterfinal round game of the America East tournament.
I think they can. I mean, I really think they can.
I don't remember ever seeing basketball played, conference tournament basketball being played in the state of Maine.
I don't know if there's ever been a conference game ever played in the state of Maine out of any division of any level. Like it, I mean, it might be a historic moment.
I'm
Schools
sure
will
there's
be
been some
closed.
of that. Bryant this week is going to be at Albany and have big one, big game though Saturday. They're going to be hosting Lowell in it could be a first place showdown here. Again, Saturday, Lowell at Bryant is the big one. Vermont, in the meantime, is going to be hosting Binghamton. Maine at NJIT at UMBC. Pair of winnable road games.
They should win them both, really.
The game at UMBC might be a little bit tougher, but where are we up to here? How about the Ace Sun Conference? Sole possession now. How about to another transitional team? We had one in the Summit League. We got one here too. Queens, 4-0 in first place. Although they won last Thursday at Lipscomb, I'm still on the Lipscomb bandwagon, despite that loss.
I am too, but that was a monster win. And this Queens program has gone through the transition and really flexed their muscles. I think that we knew from that first night, and we had followed them a little bit when we learned that they were transitioning up, that they would be successful once they completed it. 11-6 overall, 9-6 against D1, and outperforming, albeit early, everyone in the conference so far. And it wasn't like
And
they had
this
a
week, I mean, they followed that Lipscomb road with a win at Austin Peay. Griggs, Austin Peay was your preseason pick to win this league.
Yeah, they were. Austin Peay with a really nice win at Butler. And it isn't as if Queens, won four games against a backloaded schedule. To go to the on the road to both those places and get wins, that's very front loaded. And that is impressive. In conference play, it's not that they're 4-0, it's that they've beaten a couple of the better teams in the league. I'm still with you though on Lipscomb. I mean, it's hard to not admire the talent and the strength that they have and think that it's beyond it what everybody else in the league has. But what about Queens?
We look up this week. Queens is going to be at Stetson and at Gulf Coast, continuing this long road trip they've got. Lipscomb at Bell Limited and hosting Austin Peay. So Lipscomb's really going to be under pressure to go 2-0 this week.
And Chad, if this keeps up, we've done this in the past with transitional teams. Should we start working on a waiver for Queens? I know our past efforts have failed.
Well, we're working more for the Tommies too, I guess, if we're at it. The Big Sky Conference, Northern Colorado did pick up a 2-0 week with road wins at both Montana schools and is now back where we thought they would be all season, heading into the conference play, Griggs.
Very impressive week, probably one of their more impressive weeks of the entire season to go on the road to both Montana and Montana State. I know Montana State's down a little bit, but to get both of those on the road, probably their toughest road swing of the conference schedule, wouldn't you say, as far as like having to play at both of those places and to come out with two wins? Yes, looking like Northern Colorado again.
Let's look at the rest of the schedule coming if you want to take a look at the toughest road trip. I think it is. I mean, there's the trip to Idaho and Washington State will be tough in a couple of weeks. I mean, Eastern Washington will be tough. As far as the rest of the upcoming schedule, this week they are going to be at home. They're going to be hosting Portland State and Sacramento State. Portland State has led a little bit of life to them this season as
Yeah,
well.
they
So keep your
have.
eye on that.
And that's not something you say too often, but they have this season.
How about over in the Big South Conference where High Point bounced back, got the win over Gardner Webb, but most importantly, Griggs on Saturday, Winthrop with a dominating win, 95-76 over Longwood, and we know what that was.
Yes, that was the Yes, the Wynwood Cup.
Oh, jeez.
We will be sending a we will be creating a trophy. Like I wanted to reveal this tonight, but couldn't get it done. But we will be sending a trophy to the winner of the second leg of the Longwood Cup. It will be remarkable.
Let's find one that's going to be here. Winthrop will be hosting. Oh, it's not going to be until February 26th, that Longwood. We've got a ways to go now still.
High Point certainly has the most muscle. I know that they've dropped a conference game. I think we were sort of maybe expecting them to run through this. I do th it, nothing against Radford or and Asheville's actually come on a little bit, but I do think High Point is going to not blow through the league, but run away from everybody else and end up in first place and hosting this event on their own court.
Big South, I believe, is no longer doing home
Oh,
court experience.
they're not. Okay.
I think the tournament is in Charlotte. Anybody that wants to know that for certain can go up to the tab up top
Yeah.
there. This is conference tournaments and take a
Well,
look. I'm taking a quick peek here, and it's in Johnson City this year. Johnson City, Tennessee.
it's in Johnson City. Well, High Point's going to be playing at home anyway.
If they are, they're going to be in the NIT screen, so
Yeah.
that won't be a very good news for them. They're going to be hosting Presbyterian and at USC Upstate this week, and at Longwood tomorrow night. They got three games over the course of the next 7 days, actually. Big West Conference, and it was the game we were all looking forward to last week. And UC Irvine went on the road and won at UC San Diego, huge win. And I think we got to discuss both these teams, though. For example, them both up on the screen here.
Very much so. And UC Irvine, a really, really, really impressive win. UC San Diego, you notice that it is their second home loss. They did. Who was the other team that beat them though?
Seattle,
Seattle.
way
That's
down
right.
there. It's way down there in Quad Four, so it's hard to find. Yeah.
But UC San Diego had been on fire coming into that game. The build up for that game, if you watched it was just an incredible crowd. UC Irvine is a very good defensive team, and I mean, they would be able to make anybody frustrated. They could go toe to toe, at least defensively, with some of the best teams from the power conferences, and that may have been their best defensive performance of the year. They really bothered UC San Diego. They basically shut down the paint entirely and did a great job switching and contesting the threes. And even when UC San Diego did get a few open looks, they weren't able to knock them down. I realize from an excitement standpoint, it was more of a defensive rock fight than it was a high scoring, really exciting game. But what a well played game by UC Irvine in the midst of a 6 or 7 game stretch where they only had one home game. And I think they won all but one of those games. To me, when you go out and you win that many games away from home and you beat the kind of teams they beat, that's an indication that you belong inside the bubble.
Well, here's the problem for these two teams. Other than the other game that they're going to play head to head against each other on February 8th, any loss is going to be a damaging loss for the profile.
It
And there's
certainly will.
so many hard road trips at this conference. You've got to go to Riverside. You've got to go to Long Beach. You've got to go to Northridge. You've got to go to Hawaii.
And that is a long bus ride.
They just take the shuttle.
Some of the metrics for both these teams, but if we could go back there for just a second, the predictive metrics indicate that, especially the wins against Board and some of the other ones, the strength of record, the JNG certainly, although that's more of a hybrid, they indicate that UC Irvine is inside the bubble, 9 or 10 seed range, and I think that that's what they are. I know the committee doesn't ha has a tendency to not put a team like this there, but who would you rather play? This is going to be one of those situations to where you look at them and you see them on the 12 line, and whatever 5 seed would probably be thinking, gee, I'd rather play the 8 or the 9 seed than this group.
Yeah, I gotta, one thing I remember though is if UC Irvine needs an at-large bid, it's because they have suffered a loss of the conference tournament. Again, if it's to San Diego, that's one thing. If it's just that's what you fear, is that one more bad loss could knock some of these numbers way down here for these teams. Although we definitely would love to see them both find a way to make it.
Right. 8 true road wins. I believe that's more than anyone.
Oops, I'm on the wrong screen there. And give me 1 second here.
But
Okay, go
yeah,
ahead.
rest of the league. We've got the standings
Hold
up
on,
there.
we got a bit of a
Now
technical
we've
problem.
now.
Give me half a second. Oh. And we're back again. That was a little technical hiccup there. But anyhow, Griggs, let's get the screen back up here and go ahead and take a look at the upcoming schedule for this week in the Big West. Irvine is going to be hosting Fullerton and Cal Poly, while San Diego is at Long Beach and at Riverside. Again, that's that tough type of road trip that I
That
was
is
just
a
mentioning.
tough road trip, the black and blue road trip. So, and going to River, well, going either place is not going to be easy. How about Beach coming on a little bit? I mean, it's still way down. It's too little, too late. But a 3-2 start after just being really anemic prior to conference play.
Yeah, well, hey, they can, get everyone's attention this week if they do beat UC San Diego. So
Yeah.
we'll see what happens there. And team did win the conference tournament last year, if you remember.
Yeah, they did. After an un again an unremarkable regular season.
Over in the Coastal Athletic Association, and
Now, here's a story. I'm sad Rocco is not here to discuss
there
this.
are three teams left in D1 that have been members of D1 since its inception and have never made the NCAA tournament. The Army Black Knights, who we're going to discuss in a few minutes of the Patriot League,
The Citadel.
the Citadel, who we're not going to discuss when we get to the SoCon,
Yeah.
and William and Mary. If you remember, they had a couple of years, I think they had 2 years in a row where they made the CAA championship game and just lost it. And
Yeah.
that was about 10 years ago. But suddenly here they are. Huge win over Elon on Thursday. An Elon team that we had just been really pumping up a week ago here. I might be on board on the Bill and Mary train here, Griggs.
They're hard to play against, but most of the teams figure it out and do get the wins. Typically an outside shooting team. Yeah, a lot. I mean, the 4-0 start, I keep thinking that everybody will kind of catch up to them eventually. But when they go and get a win against a team like Elon, somebody that I thought would take care of them, they've certainly been flexing their muscles in conference. And I don't think it's going to last.
No,
I think
when
that when they get
you
into
are
the second
rated,
half of conference play, they're going to kind of come back down to earth. But it's fun for now.
when you're the number 311 defense nationally, I don't think it's going to hold up. But at the end
Yeah.
of the day, I mean, Charleston, who did won at Hofstra, then lost a game at home, lost a game at Monmouth, which kind of shocked me over the weekend.
Yeah,
And
really.
Elon, who did bounce back with the win over Campbell, are two
Yeah.
teams I'm looking at. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, I mean just really just sort of slept walked through that game. I mean, we've been seeing that a lot lately. Teams that you would expect to be under the radar front runners losing games like that just kind of have you hit scratching your head.
Upcoming schedule for this week. If we want to look at Bill and Mary, they're going to be at Hampton,
Yeah.
and at UNC Wilmington. Meanwhile, Charleston, they're going to be at Campbell and hosting Northeastern. Elon at the doing the Drexel Delaware road trip. Some road games there, at least for these top teams.
Yeah.
But over in Conference USA, and this is a team that I think may have staying power, believe it or not, and a team that we
Yeah.
had not paid much attention to all season. But New Mexico State this week, over the weekend, they went to UTEP and not only beat a pretty, well, I thought it was a pretty good Miners team, but beat them by almost 30 points. And I'm ready to say that I'm on the New Mexico State bandwagon this season.
Well, after that, it's kind of hard to dismiss them. If you want to pull them up here, Chad, 7-6, sort of
And the
not
win at New
really,
Mexico.
yeah. But that's another one. Like they went to New Mexico and won. That not an easy game to win. So to get two road wins of that caliber, they beat La Tech. That had us scratching our head. A really good La Tech
And
team
that was a
beat them decide.
30-point win also.
Yeah. And you almost start to wonder what the hell happened to them, after Thanksgiving, food poisoning or what? But you look at that stretch where they lost to Pepperdine, Bowling Green, and Abilene Christian in about what was that, a 4 or 5 day span? And after that, I just, why didn't we see this coming? Because why would you keep paying attention to them after that?
I'm there, and it's kind of funny. Over the weekend, Louisiana Tech Liberty, a few weeks ago, we thought that would have been the highlight game of the weekend. It was a good game, Louisiana Tech with a 5-point win.
Yeah.
But suddenly you're looking here, and they're both 2-2 only in the conference. While New Mexico State is undefeated.
Yeah, just sort of pulling away from everybody else and undefeated and winning against good teams decisively on
And
the
now we got circled
road.
this Saturday. First, they got to go to FIU on Thursday. FIU is kind of like Denver and New Hampshire, Griggs. They're
Yeah.
not a good team. But
Yeah.
New Mexico State is at Liberty on Saturday, and that's a huge game.
Yeah, that's a really big game.
If they win
And
that game, they may run away with this conference easily.
yeah, and this is a program with a fairly rich history. They were constant MAC front runner, is constantly winning 25 games or more. So it isn't like they don't have a history or a tradition or a fan base to where they can be one of the more dominant programs in this conference. They absolutely can.
They can. Let's jump over to the Horizon League, where we saw a double overtime game tonight with Purdue Fort Wayne getting the win at Wright State. But Griggs, we haven't discussed them much all season. We featured the Horizon League a few weeks back. I don't even think we had much discussion at all of them. But Cleveland State is now 7-1 in conference, and sole possession of first place. Took care of Northern Kentucky easily tonight. And
And
won at
what it
Youngstown over the weekend.
and they're on a tear. I think since early December, is it 7 out of 8, 8 out of 9, whatever it is. I mean
Nine in a
they've
row, not nine out of
not
nine.
9 in a row. And they've been, I mean, they've gone on the road and won. I still, they've been winning everywhere. And you gotta have to start to think of them as being the conference front runner and the alpha team in this conference right now. I like them more than anybody else. I mean, after, and I think tonight just kind of sealed it.
Yeah, I mean, you still look at some of the metrics, and they may say, "Well, Fort Wayne or Milwaukee." No, right now, Cleveland State is the best team in the conference. They're playing the best basketball, and there is a long way to go, but like this team a ton.
And
And this
our
week, they're at IUND and hosting Detroit Mercy, so they should have a 2-0 week.
yeah they really should. Detroit Mercy much improved. Doug Gottlieb, probably not gonna get coach of the year in the conference.
I think Green Bay, they're there with Denver too. Poor
Just
Denver, we were beating up on
oh
them way too much tonight.
yeah
The Ivy League, we were finally got one game of Ivy League play underway, and probably the surprising game was Cornell. And I think Rocco called this last week also. Cornell picked up the road win at Columbia, and maybe this whole Columbia thing is really just going to start falling apart here at this point.
Well, I think it will, and falling apart in the sense that they're not going to blow through the Ivy League the way they blew through their out of conference schedule. It was fun. It was remarkable. It deserves to be commended, given that Columbia doesn't have a rich basketball history. They are much better, but not that the Ivy League, Chad, is on par with the non under the radar conferences, but they played a lot of weak teams from weak leagues during that stretch. I mean, if you pull them up and look at it, it was,
Columbia? Well, they did have the one at Villanova.
they did have the win at Villanova. And like I said, weak teams from weak leagues, Villanova. But everything else was very 300-ish. No, it
Yes.
was fun. It was exciting. It was great. But that was, aside from that win at Villanova, which was stupefying, it's been very much a pastry cart.
Yeah, if you look at the rest of the league, though, notably Yale did pick up the win at Brown, Princeton with the road win at Harvard. Although I don't think Harvard's very good this year. Princeton
They're
kind
not.
of re
They.
really had to fight to get that win.
You had called that. Every time I want to jump on Princeton's bandwagon and say that they're looking like the at-large caliber team that I thought they'd be, they struggle. Harvard not good, and Princeton really, really had to struggle to get away with the win in that one.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I think this is going to be a Princeton Yale league again, which it's been for the last few years here. And those two teams may be playing on the morning of Selection Sunday for the Ivy League auto bid. Full slate of conference play this week, Saturday and Monday, actually. Not the normal Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Monday,
With Martin Luther
because Martin
King.
Luther King Day, yep.
And a full slate of, how about Columbia Princeton? That's going to be a fun one on Monday. I've got that one circled.
Columbia, Princeton, Yale is going to be at Columbia on Saturday before that, so a couple games worth watching in there.
Really big week. Well, it's big for everybody, but a big week for Columbia. I still think Columbia Check can get into the Ivy Four, into the conference tournament.
Yes, but they might be the four seed there.
Yeah, that might be the four seed.
Metro Atlantic and Marist
Oof.
just keeps winning games. They picked up the win over Fairfield this week, but Merrimack right behind them with the wins at Sacred Hearted over Manhattan.
So Marist with the biggest record, but also the weakest schedule, not just in this conference, but the weakest the weakest.
Well, Griggs, they have not lost a game against the top three tiers of the nation. Very few teams could say that.
That's remarkable that they've not played a game outside of tier four. Essentially, many D2 teams have played tougher D1 schedules.
And they're all D1 games. No non-D1 games in there either. This is remarkable. This takes effort to put this type of schedule together. Look at that strength of schedule, 364.
Yeah.
The worst in the nation.
No road bye games, no nothing. One of the teams that is sort of in that hunt, there is that sort of logjam among the top four, is that Quinnipiac team that we were all big on before the start of the season. Now that they've kind of gotten in the conference play, are they starting to turn into the team that we thought they'd be?
Yeah, they pulled out a win at Iona on Sunday. It was a 1-point game, but they got the win, and that's what counts at the end of the day. Marist this week, they're at St. Peter's and hosting Rider, so there's a good chance that they're going to be 7-0 next week. but the game of the week is coming tomorrow night, though. Merrimack and Quinnipiac going head-to-head for the first time this season.
Yeah, that should be a fun one.
Over in the, what are we up to now? The Mid-American Conference.
Yeah.
And first of all, so much for all that Kent State stuff we were talking about earlier this year. They followed up a bad loss last week with a bad home loss last night to Western Michigan. And you can't lose to schools that are not from the state of Ohio. That's the
You really can't. And in both of Kent State's losses have been just sort of like, huh? And they just don't bring it every night. One of the stories in this league is that team that's sitting right on top, the Miami Redhawks, Travis Steele's team, doing really well, have a win against a bubble in the top 100. And 4-0 in conference play. Out of all of the Ohio schools, we thought they would be the weakest. At least I did. But not just a good start to conference, but a really good season overall. I do got to say that their rivals, the Bobcats, Miami, or not Miami, but Ohio U, is still the team that I think is going to come out of this. I don't think they've played up to their ceiling yet, but after the 4-0 start, they're kind of starting to.
Yeah, if you looked at some of these remaining schedules here, you'll see February 8th. We do have the announcement this week of the second half of games in that MAC Sun Belt Challenge. They will be MAC home games February 8th. Miami Ohio getting a pretty good Troy team as their opponent. Ohio U not as good of an opponent with App State. Those are a couple of – we're still a few weeks away from those games, though. Mm-hmm. But we've been seeing that Sunbelt 8 MAC 4 thing on the screen for a while now. It'll eventually go away once we play the rest of those games.
Yeah.
How about Ohio and Akron coming up Friday night and battle two teams that are undefeated in conference?
Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, that's a real big one. So, yeah, that should be a fun one coming up this Friday.
Miami's going to be at Kent on Saturday. So Kent really needs this game. They got to get whatever's wrong with them straightened out very quickly here.
Yes, they do.
MEAC time, and we had an upset tonight, Griggs. Howard losing a home game to non-D1 Bowie State. Ouch. First place in the conference loses a non-D1 game.
Yeah. I'm still sort of in shock of what happened on Monday night with Morgan State beating Norfolk. I thought Norfolk would blow through this league. It was their league to lose, but Howard, the conference leader, losing to
and that may we were talking the fact that Norfolk State might be able to avoid Dayton. If it's not Norfolk State, the winner is definitely going to Dayton.
And it might be even if it is Norfolk State, but probably not. Wow.
That was the one slip up. Griggs, I don't know if we can get a 4-0 week this week out of the conference. They only have four games. But after what Howard did tonight, now they got Morehouse, another non-D1. You never know, this league.
Washington Adventist. Okay. So
kind of a little week off here for the MEAC schools, I guess.
A little week off. And then, I know Morehouse is. I, excuse me for not knowing this. I don't know if Washington Adventures is a is an HBCU or not, but perhaps some of those games and events being planned around Martin Luther King Day to.
The Morehouse Howard game is, yes.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Missouri Valley Conference, where Bradley did get a pair of wins this week. Drake knocked off Evansville. I think that was their only game this week, as the two teams
Yeah.
try to keep pace with each other. And but Northern Iowa, Griggs, is starting to make a little noise here as well.
Yeah, and I'm afraid to point it out because every it seems like this is the third or fourth time I've been like I've liked this Northern Iowa team. They were one of my dark horses back in October. I really think they're starting to turn around, and then right after I say that, they go out and lose. But they are starting to make some noise. I think they can play as well, or at least close to it, as Bradley, Drake, Belmont, some of the teams that are at the top of the league.
As we record this, Murray State and UIC are in overtime, by the way.
Yeah,
And
we
tonight has been a night full of overtime games. I think we've
is
had,
that number six? I think that was the sixth under the radar overtime game of the night.
and we've had multiple double overtimes and one triple overtime game already tonight as well.
Yeah.
Still looking for a quadrupler, but UMass and Fordham going to double overtime as we record this.
Yeah, not under the
Not under,
radar,
not
but
maybe under the radar. They are one of those. They are a 10.
yeah, they are a 10.
But upcoming week this week, Illinois State Drake going on as we record this as well, and Drake is up 7 in the second half, so we'll see what happens with that. But Northern Iowa is going to be at Southern Illinois. Drake is hosting Valpo. What's Bradley doing? They're at Murray State. That's such a
Yeah,
tough game at
that's a
Murray
good
State.
one.
They
That
got the
Brad.
Murray and then Belmont. Bradley's got a tough week ahead, actually.
Yeah. And this is one of those weeks, like for Bradley. And again, it's a tough week, but you always, what's your comment about how good teams don't lose close games, they win them? My thing is that tournament teams do are able to win games that are tough to win. So if Bradley belongs inside the bubble, they'll get it done.
Yeah, and Bradley's here is that Bradley profile on the left there. The problem is you only have one win in the top two quadrants, and it was UIC. Drake, on the other hand, has the Vanderbilt win, has the win at Kansas State, and has
Yeah.
the win at Bradley. I mean,
That's
Drake, I think,
strong.
has an inside the bubble type of profile,
They
not
do.
Bradley.
Yeah, Drake does, but the one that kind of hurt them was just losing that game at Illinois Chicago. I think that was an overtime game on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that was. But they, I mean, they have plenty of season ahead, including a home game against Bradley, home two games against Northern Iowa. So there's chances ahead for Drake. Over in the Northeast Conference, one of our favorite leagues, and
Yes.
Central Connecticut, we had been on the bandwagon. They
Oof.
go and they lose a home game to Wagner, and then they follow it up with an even worse game on Sunday against LIU.
Yeah.
The end of this Central Connecticut LIU game, the Blue Devils have the ball down two with an inbounds play, about 6 seconds left.
They have it's their ball. They have
Their
the ball.
ball, they turn over, they throw it away on the inbounds pass. There's still four seconds left. LIU is holding the ball, and the player is just standing there. And there's five Central Connecticut guys staring at him.
Yeah,
Until
as the clock
finally,
ticks down.
with about 0.8768, about under a second left, they finally realize, oh, we should foul him and get maybe have a shot if he misses a free throw to tie the game.
Yeah.
It
I mean,
was.
it was just a colossal, like, brain malfunction.
But how about those Long Island? They're no longer the Blackbirds, they're the Sharks. How about those Sharks in first place?
I'm kind of surprised. First of all, that it's Central Connecticut is two games back, and second of all, that it's Long Island that is in first place. But again, it's hard to argue against success.
They are 4-0. This week they're going to be hosting St. Francis, winnable game. They're going to be hosting Mercyhurst, winnable game.
Winnable game, so could easily get to 6-0. Is Chicago State going to start to win it all?
They do have the one conference win so far, which is their only win on the season. They're going to need two or three more, I think, to qualify for the top eight and make it to the NEC tournament. Only eight teams go, and all
Yeah.
those ineligible teams do get a chance to play in it. OVC, if you want to talk about bad leagues, let's continue going on.
Oh,
But I
yeah.
got to give a shout out this week, though, to Morehead State.
Yes.
pair of road wins at Little Rock and at SEMO, both of
Yeah.
which were teams that we were looking at near the top of the standings here. So that's a huge week for Morehead, and they may be in position to start
Yeah.
becoming the dominant force of this conference, like they've been for a few years now.
I think you're right. Morehead State seems so unremarkable through most of the out of conference portion of the season. They lost their coach. They had a lot of their key players had transferred out, and they were sort of in complete reset mode. But what is it now, Chad? I know it's not all D1, but is it 8 out of 9 or 7 out of 8 that they've won? They just played 4 straight road games and won 3 of them. And it was against Little Rock and SEMO and some of the stronger teams in the conference. And here they are again atop the standings, stringing together wins, winning away from home. I still think SIUE has the most as far as what to show, but Morehead somehow, despite all that, is at the
Well,
top.
Griggs, I'll give you 7 out of 8. Two of those were against Kentucky Christian and
Yeah.
Alice Lloyd.
Yeah.
I think I'll give you 6 out of 7.
Okay, six out of seven. What
But
about, I mean, but one of the better teams in the league right on Morehead's heels is this SIUE team. Yeah.
yeah, I kind of agree with that a little bit. I don't know that I've seen enough of them yet this season to say that they're there. But I mean, they're the only team with a winning record against
Yeah, they're the
D1
only team with a,
opponents.
yeah. So,
So you gotta say something. It's gonna mean something, I guess.
yeah.
Morehead this week is gonna be hosting Western Illinois and Lindenwood. So that SIUE team has got a pair of road games, though, at Tennessee State, at UT Martin. They go 2-0 this week. I'll t on that road trip, I'll talk SIUE next week with you. How's that?
Okay, that sounds fair. And again, on their way to Dayton to spending time with the MEAC and the NEC and probably the Patriot League.
We're finally starting to see Patriot League teams w winning road games, though. Not only did Army win at Lehigh on Saturday, but American and Colgate both picked up road wins this week. And Colgate's game tonight at Navy was actually pretty impressive. They're the first team to really dominate anybody on the road. But
Yeah. And
this
here's
might be
Colgate. Yeah.
Colgate doing their thing. But I got to give a shout to Army. They have picked up a buzzer beater win tonight. This team has, I think, there's a little bit of life here. This Army team.
I hope so, because God, what a story that would be if they could make some noise and win this league. I mean, obviously, you had mentioned at the top of the show, they had never been to the NCAA tournament in their whole history. But Colgate, despite
With the one asterisk that they actually had, when Bob Knight was the head coach there, they turned down a bid, but
they
an
did,
invite.
yeah, back when you could do that, I guess.
Yeah, they decided to play the NIT instead,
Yeah,
but long time
but
ago.
yeah. Colgate only 2 out of conference wins, but 4-1 since con two excuse me D1 out of conference wins. But yeah, starting to be Colgate again and starting to run away from everybody else.
Yeah, and this week ahead here, Colgate's going to be at Lafayette and hosting Bucknell, while Army hosting BU and at Holy Cross. And Holy Cross, we've been talking about them a couple of weeks ago, and they have started to fall apart since we got into conference play, unfortunately for them.
Yeah, they have.
Over in the SoCon,
Man.
which featured one of those overtime games for tonight, with as well as a very exciting Samford Mercer game tonight, and an exciting Furman East
Yeah.
Tennessee State game, and how about VMI with a 16-point win over Western Carolina.
Yeah.
It was actually an exciting night tonight in the SoCon alone, but
So
Furman now with 2 losses, though.
yeah, Chad, you mentioned what Central Connecticut had done, the boneheadedness of not fouling. How about the boneheadedness of Mercer fouling Samford with less than a second to go? I don't think he knew the game was tied. And that sent Samford for the line for the game-winning free throw.
I don't know. How about more
Wow.
so, Griggs? What happened Monday night, though? Furman, who had been in control of this conference early, not only
Yeah.
did they lose at home, but they lost by almost 20 points to a decent Wofford team, but not a Wofford team that was on the same level as Furman, in my opinion.
Not at all. This is a bit of a rivalry. Well, no, it's not a bit of a rivalry. It's a very much a rivalry, but shouldn't have that meant been all the more reason for Furman to be up for it at home, probably one of their bigger showcase games, and they get blown off their own court like that. I mean, it was stunning.
Meanwhile, though, Samford with that win at Mercer, the win over VMI, and wins over Greensboro in the last week, I think we're it's Buckyball time again.
It is. And despite losing so many key players from a year ago, Buckyball is back 15-3 overall. This team is so much fun to watch. And Samford's got quite a bit of buzz around it. You watch their home games and people are there, and it's an exciting brand of basketball. Fast paced, lots of scoring, lots of athleticism, and it's I mean, probably the most fun you can have for the price of the ticket in the city of Birmingham, anyway.
Well, you're not gonna want to go see UAB, so I think that may be the only place you want to go these days if you're going to watch basketball down there. Samford on Saturday is going to be hosting East Tennessee State. Then they're at Chattanooga on Wednesday. That's a tough game there. Chattanooga has definitely had some life this season.
Yeah, they have. That's a really tough road trip for Samford. If they get both of those, I am a firm believer.
That's East Tennessee will be at home game actually.
Oh,
So.
East. Oh, sorry, East Tennessee. Yeah, there it is, right on the screen.
Yep. And Furman hosting Chattanooga and then going to VMI. So Furman, give him Chattanooga at home, I think guys I'll give Furman on. Chattanooga on the road is always gonna be a tough game this season though.
Yeah, it will be.
Over in the Southland Conference, McNeese is I mean they didn't completely crush Nichols. They did kind of completely crush Houston Christian on the road and
Yeah.
they're get ready to run away with it.
I think so.
Although I mean Corpus Christi is picking up wins though, but
Yeah, Corpus Christi keeping pace. UTRGV, we were really big on them after they almost won at Wisconsin. They've sort of digressed since then. If you had to make a story to make the league seem interesting, you would say that Corpus Christi's keeping pace, but in reality, McNeese is going to blow through this league.
well, let's circle January 27th. Still a few weeks away. That's McNeese's game at Corpus Christi. They win that one, and the regular season title is probably decided right then and there, if it isn't decided already. This week, McNeese is hosting a Lamar team that had a little bit of life earlier in the season, and then Stephen F. Austin team that has been very disappointing since coming back to the Southland Conference.
Very shockingly disappointing, SFA.
Over in the SWAC, and how about this Southern team, Griggs? We were talking two teams last week, Southern and Bethune-Cookman. They played each other Monday night. Southern with a 16-point win. I'm there with Southern. I get Jackson State 3-0. I'm your Southern team is the team for me.
I'm pretty much all in on Southern. I had been pumping up Alabama State a little bit. They're 2 games back, and so I don't think they'll run the table, but I do think they'll run away. That's a really good Southern team. It's categorically better than anybody else. Just look at the metrics. There's nobody within 100 of them, I don't think.
Pretty much. And real quick note there, Monday night's Jackson State Alabama A&M game. This game had basically buzzer beating shots to tie it at the end of regulation, at the end of the first overtime, and at the end of the second overtime. KenPom had rated it as the most exciting game of the entire season in his rating system. How about that? For any team anywhere,
Yeah,
Jackson
and I
State.
think there were 48 YouTube viewers while it was going.
I didn't watch it, I promise you that. I was actually trying to find the stream when it went final on Monday night after we did our podcast. Upcoming this week, though, Southern is going to be hosting Grambling on Saturday in the Bayou Classic.
And yeah, nice rivalry there, but kind of a mismatch. That one might
Jackson State's gonna be at Prairie View and at Texas Southern. They're the other team that's up there. Where are we up to? How about going over to the Sun Belt Conference and Arkansas State?
Kind of let us down a little bit.
That
Rough, rough week. They did get the nice win at Troy, but
the win at
not.
Troy was nice. Troy's a pretty good team. They're near the top of the standings there, but the loss at South Alabama, and I know we've been saying that Arkansas State, Arkansas State, Arkansas State all season, Griggs. I'm ready to start saying South Alabama, South Alabama, South Alabama.
Well, yeah, I mean,
This team is playing really well lately.
They have. They've strung together a lot of wins. And then when you start to look at some of their losses, the Western Illinois loss makes no sense. But
They were
they
all
were
other
they
than the
have
Old
not.
Dominion, overtime loss. Yes, it was just within the last week, but everything else was back in November.
Back in November, and they were competitive in every game. No one's dominated them.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, even their game against Ole Miss, that they were
Yeah, they
within
were
10
in that.
points.
I mean, granted, Ole Miss didn't get control of that, if I remember right, because I think we were watching that while we were recording. It wasn't until really the under four timeout to where they started to exhale a little bit. South was right in there.
I mean, Arkansas State does have the win at Memphis, which blows away anything that South Alabama has done. So if you look at profiles, who's got better profile? Yes, it's Arkansas State, but I'm really paying attention to the South Alabama team going forward here.
Me too.
Upcoming this week, South Alabama, they're going to be hosting Troy at a in-state rivalry there, and that what could be a real good game. While Arkansas State gets a pair of home games against teams that they should beat.
They shouldn't sweat those at all. So
Last conference, how about the WAC?
how
And
about it?
we were talking about that Utah Valley Greg Hay game. We said that we thought the Lopes were going to lose it, and we were all right. How about that? Pat ourselves on the back.
And that was a good call. And how about that? I mean, one of the things about the atmospheres in some of these places, some of them are just cavernous. But Seattle, they've got that crazy statue there. Grand Canyon, obviously one of the more unique atmospheres in all of basketball. But Utah Valley, and we've seen that place get electric, and it was electric. I mean, that place was off the chain for that game. Is it a Beehive thing? I mean, is that I know they love their basketball out in Utah, but every time it just seems like every time I turn on a Utah Valley game, and I mean this in a good way, the crowd blows me away.
They do get good crowds out there, and this is a pretty good team, and I think that we could be in store for a good battle the rest of the season between these two. They will play again February 1st, the Lopes in Utah Valley, but I don't think we have any type of at-large resume here by
Oh
any of them,
no.
either of them by far, but I think we're gonna have a real fun battle the rest of the way between these two, and I don't really know that anyone else is gonna be in there. I know Utah Tech is 2-0. Oh, that's a fake 2-0 in my opinion.
It kind of is.
Home wins over in
Seattle, I
Arlington in
will say this
Tulane.
about Seattle. When they lose, which is often, they don't mess around. But they've probably got not one but two of the best wins of any team that was ever 4-10 in the entire history of basketball.
UC San Diego at Washington. And yes, they lost at home to Nicholls. They lost at
In Eastern
Eastern.
Washington. Yeah, I mean, what?
They beat Abilene by 2.
Like, what an unremarkable, underachieving profile with two quad one wins or tier one wins.
Tier one.
Well,
Washington.
tier one, tier
Washington.
two. I'm sorry. Washington's tier two. Sorry.
Upcoming this week, though, Utah Valley is going to be at Texas Arlington and hosting Utah Tech in a Beehive game, while the Lopes will be hosting Abilene and Tarleton, the two of the Texas teams there. That's it, though. Hop on to some
Yeah, we got to check
mystical
out our mythical
conferences.
leagues real quick.
Real quick, Beehive Conference. We did not have any games this week, but coming up ahead here, we got a pair of them on Saturday. Utah Tech, Utah Valley, just mentioned, also BYU, Utah. These two games could help determine the Beehive Conference for the season. Big
Yeah,
week in
I
the
think
Beehive.
so. That BYU Utah game, you want to turn into it.
Over in the Front Range Conference, didn't have much of games this week. Colorado's still holding on to the very narrow lead, but huge game Saturday, Colorado State,
Colorado
Wyoming,
State, Wyoming. Yeah,
the
the
real
border
border
war.
war.
Yes. Wyoming wins that, they can pull even with Colorado.
Huge game week this week in the Front Range with one of its top rivalries. Back range down in Arizona and New Mexico. New Mexico State with a dominating win at UTEP that we discussed earlier, now tied with the Sun Devils for first place.
I mean, on top of the polls there. So.
No actual games this week though in the back range. But how about up in the top range? We got a lot of mythical conferences, don't we?
Yeah, I know.
The Zags with a win over Wazoo, and this is the first top range game Gonzaga has played in 2 years. So congrats to Gonzaga for
Yeah.
finally playing a conference game.
Right. And keeping just getting within a game of Montana there. So
A bunch of games here for these big sky
woo-hoo-hoo,
teams here.
busy week in the top range.
Huge, huge week in Montana, especially at Idaho State, hosting Idaho. I mean, that could put them way ahead of the Zags if they can go 2-0 this week. And finally, I know that it's a bit of a stretch to put this group of teams together, but the
Wow.
Conference of Champions, and what's going on with
Yeah.
Utah there? They're clustering in the
Wow.
Beehive, not bothering with their conference champions
Right,
games.
I know. I just don't know what to do. They need to prioritize their mythical conferences, I guess.
But Washington and Oregon going head to head. Big game for Oregon trying to get back in things here with having
Yeah.
lost. They really got to beat Washington this week.
Man, that is a big rivalry. That one should be fun. Yeah.
Oops, HD under the radar top 10 list. I pulled the screen about 5 times already today. Finally, actually getting it for the real reason. UI and our colleague John Sleek all submitted ballots this week. We have some honorable mentions, starting with the College of Charleston, Arkansas State, Yale, Middle Tennessee. How about
St.
a vote for
Thomas,
Marist?
yeah.
How about a vote for St. Thomas? And even High Point getting a little bit of love there still.
Yeah. Ooh.
I think it's the first time that Tommy's ever been in one of our top 10 lists.
Yeah, I
Maybe they've
think
been in a big
so.
one.
Yeah.
See if they can't start moving up. Number 10, Furman,
Berman
despite the
just
loss, just
barely staying in the poll despite the bad loss. Yeah.
Northern Iowa breaking into the poll, I think, for the first time in quite a while here.
Yeah, playing a little better, so starting to make some noise.
Princeton in
Yeah.
there at number 8. Liberty at number 7 out of Conference USA.
Yeah, still hanging in.
How about
McNeese, ooh,
McNeese
yeah.
bouncing back? And they'd fallen out of the polls. I don't think they even got any honorable mention votes for a week or two, but now they're
Yeah.
moving back up again. At number 5, Samford. How about
Stanford.
Buckyball?
Buckyball. Love Buckyball.
Drake coming in at number 4.
Yeah.
And
Three
right
is.
ahead of them, Bradley at number 3. Despite us saying that Drake had a better overall resume, I
Yeah.
think Bradley is playing a little bit better than Drake right now.
I think so too.
At number 2, UC San Diego falling out of their one seat that they'd held for a
Yeah.
couple of weeks. Now number 2, and I don't think it's any surprise who number 1 is, but we'll do the drum roll anyhow. The Eaters of UC
Yeah.
Irvine. And how about the Big
So,
West there? Top two teams. That's why we talk about
yeah.
it really as a legitimate two-bit league here.
And I think that they're going to stay 1-2 for a while.
Probably. On that note, though, let's go pull this down. Griggs, you got any other final thoughts for the night?
Just, I mean, it seems like I was trying to remember in years past, at what point did it seem like most of the at-large opportunities for under the radar schools had dried up. It felt like it came a little earlier this year, but I still think that there are two really solid candidates. I do think UC San Diego and UC Irvine deserve strong looks, and if some other school like a Bradley or someone like that can keep stringing together wins, maybe they'll get the attention of the committee. But I don't know. But that UC Irvine and UC San Diego are both legit teams. Like, for
My
real.
final my thought, Griggs, is we love quadruple overtime games here,
Yes.
and it's been, I think, 2 years, over 2 years since we've
Yeah,
actually had
I don't
one,
think we had one last year.
and
Yeah.
we are now in our second triple overtime of the night, and our fourth or fifth of the week this week. One of these guys has got to go. UMass and
Yeah.
Fordham in what may soon be an under the radar game in triple overtime as we record this,
Yeah.
and we got a double overtime going on between Murray State and UIC.
Yeah, Murray
Why
State
can't we
UI.
get a quadruple overtime
I
game?
don't know.
On
It's annoying.
that note, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Schur. We'll be back Sunday night with a bracket rundown, Monday with a Hoops HD report, and next Wednesday with another Under the Radar. Talk to you again real soon.